Good evening from National Public Radio in Washington. I'm Susan Stamberg.
And I'm Leslie Breeding with All Things Considered.
You got a Teasel and Borp Slib's Brody Burger?
How about a Muldoon Dom and a Borpos? I don't know what to have. I think maybe I'm going to have some bald warming with huge dom and Borp Slips.
Boonville, California is the only place in the nation you will find Gorp Slips on the menu. It is not that the food is foreign, it's the language. About 100 years ago, Boonville started speaking in its own tongue, Boontling. But now the secret language of the town is in danger of dying out. Tonight on All Things Considered, the Boonville Talking Blues.
Also tonight, these stories in Egypt. There's a little town north of San Francisco that's got a secret. Actually, it's a secret language. Reporter Jenna Allison, dictionary in hand, tells us of her visit to Boonville, California. The adventure begins at a lunch counter.
You got a Teasel and Borp Slib's Brody Burger?
How about a Muldoon Dom and a Borpos? I don't know what to have. I think maybe I'm going to have some bald warming with huge dom and Borp Slib's. The menu at the Horn of Zeus, or Cup of Coffee restaurant in Boonville, California, gives a lot of amusement to the tourists who visit here. They come from all over to hear it for themselves. Natives harping, that's speaking, Boontling.
If you want to harp about something, that Kimmy over there, you talk about somebody. Thribs for Charlie Brown Bear Track.
Oh!
Just sat there and gone. I'd have been so tongue-cuppy, I couldn't have piped. Yeah, I know it. You know what I say? Yeah, one of the Bort brothers.
In the 1880s, the Anderson Valley was a peaceful little valley of homesteads and low rolling hills. It was here that Boontling grew until about 500 people were speaking it. Most everyone in the valley knew each other and depended on each other for entertainment. And so in the hop fields by day and in the sales or saloons by night, Boontling flourished. What is it about the valley and its people that kept it alive for so long? You hear about kids inventing their own languages, but it never catches. Why did this catch?
The valley was not exactly isolated, and yet it wasn't too easily entered or left, and people had to have something to do to amuse themselves, and so that was one of their pastimes, especially in the wintertime when they couldn't get out and carry on outside activities. Why, they sat around the stoves or in the saloon and harp boomed.
Just about the time she hits the Bob Moore hole, she'd be plenty for Jikas.
Oh, she just bawled for horning, and Kimmy can certainly horn all winter.
Boomling is really a vocabulary of nearly 1,300 words, which is placed into the context of American English. It's always been spoken mostly among men, at sheep shearing time, on hunting trips, and at Boonville baseball games. Few outsiders knew about it until the early 1960s. It was then that scholars like Charles C. Adams, who wrote a book on the subject, came to study the Boonters.
The impetus for starting little private languages in all of us, Boontling actually developed, in my view, mainly in a context where men were thrown together with men. Because it was a private language, it was used to discuss taboo subjects, particularly sex and bodily functions, from a man's point of view.
Oh, it was ball. All of a sudden, around the corner came a damn piking with a huge set of mauls. And I was a deacon of Hilch. And she's piking along, and she's got on some of the ballest trilbies you ever saw, about 4 inches.
Boonter's relative isolation not only brought about the need for a self-contained form of entertainment, but it also made them feel like outsiders. So what greater joy than sharking the bright light Kimmy piking to Boont in his moche? In other words, putting on the city man who drives to Boonville in his car.
This Kimmy from the bright lights piked along in a little moche and got out and come over and asked Weavis and I, he said, could you tell me where would be a good place to camp tonight? So Weefus and I looked at each other, and Weefus harped Grizzly River Flats. And I harped Yide, but the Jape was pretty nonch up there for Bright Light Kimmy. Weefus said, oh, I just thought, he said, he ought to pike to Barney Flats. And I looked around, and here was this poor Kimmy standing about half dumbfounded with his hands down to his side and his eyes batting, looking at us, wondering what we had said. And finally, we both stood and looked at him, and he said, well, how far is it down to this place? And I said, oh, just a slib less than steam down there. He stood there a second longer and nodded his head and finally turned real slow and started to walk across the street. And finally, he drove off. And as he went down the road, I asked Weepus, I said, where do you suppose he's going to go?
Sharking people, especially city people, is a talent that every true Boonter must have. It's one of their favorite games, and no one is immune.
We told you that you are a bright lighter and that you never leave Bootland without being strung.
What did you say about me?
What was that?
You tell her, I'm not going
to... It's on tape, listen to it.
I think I'll take the Fifth Amendment like he did. I don't remember, I was so busy listening.
Boont words come from a number of sources. Some are abbreviations. A dog is a harem, shortened from hairy mouth. Others imitate the sounds of what they describe. A spat is a small rifle from the sound of its report. One of the very important sources is the names of the original Boonters.
A Jeffer is a large fire, coming about from old Jeff Vestal. And he built huge fires, and he seemed to delight in it. Because he come down the old Meese house, and right in a hot afternoon, build a roaring fire in the fireplace and run all the guests out of the lobby, you know? So, a Jeffer, a fire.
Because so much of the lingo is based on the characters of people who are now long dead, Boontling has changed. It's not as vital as it was 100 years ago, and only about 35 people still speak it fluently. Modern-day Boonters are as much fun-loving characters as their predecessors, but that's just not enough to keep the language alive. The social context has changed. Professor Adams.
It's tied to a particular time and place and set of characters. And even though it's being maintained today as a kind of local interest, it's an artifact. Of course, another thing is the further you get away from the people whose names are embedded in the language, the less vitality it has, because so much of the vitality is right in the personalities of the people.
What do you harp on the Hymn of the Gold Dome over there? About an eighth Modocker?
Gotta be.
Oh, I think he's plenty Modocker.
Yeah, that was ball.
We say things in Bootling that we wouldn't think of saying in the English.
It is to the exclusion of outsiders.
That's the object of Bootling is fun.
I don't know whether it's the thought of being able to speak something that nobody else can understand me or what.
What does it go back to? I know something you don't know.
That's the trouble with the country. There's too many people harping for more Higgs all the time, and too many feather legs harping ball, we'll give you more Higgs. And that Kemi Harp's neighbor.
Just fun.
It's the game.
It's fun.
It's the challenge.
This is their life, Boontling.
Is that your life?
Yes. Yes.
A lot of Boonters talk about Boontling as a game, but it's obviously more to them. It's a whole lot more to them. What do you think it is to them?
I think there's a romanticizing of the past and the crack shots, the time when the deer were really plentiful. I've often wondered, as I hunted myself in the Bald Hills, when I'm standing in a sea of stumps, what it must have looked like when it was fully forested. It must have been really something. I think probably more than anything else, it's a way of getting away from some of the kind of harsh realities of modern times.
What other town in the United States has its own language? There's nothing beats going to the city and coming back to the smell of redwood trees, pepperwood, hearing the quail, and seeing the rail fences. That brings you back home again, both nasally and visually.
Can't you think of a better word than nasally?
Yeah, you come back here and do a wee slib of sniffing on the pepperwoods and the Charlie Davises, and you dig a slib around and you see the rookie two and the rail. And you harp plenty ball, this is my region, where's my nook?
Our report on Boontling was prepared by Jenna Allison in Oakland, California.
And for this evening, that's All Things Considered.